Hey, welcome to Intentional Living. What is this? Intentional Living, that's right, here on this Valentine's weekend coming up. Celebrating marriage, and really today hearing some stories of people telling us when they feel most loved and respected in the relationship, or perhaps having a question for me as well. We'll leave the comment line open for you at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. You know, life is hard. Having a marriage, let's face it, being married is tough. There's work to it. And I know the honeymoon, when it passes, and all of a sudden you got the bills and the kids and the in-laws and the realities of life, it can be stressful. But I have found in years of counseling families and couples and working with people, we all make it a lot more difficult than God ever intended for it to be. Yeah, it's a commitment, and there's going to be work and what have you, but it's almost as though we're our own worst enemies sometimes in terms of the way we speak to each other and communicate and stuff that's just totally unnecessary. Let's just get down to brass tack. Why do we do and say what we do and not say we're going to try to make a priority to make the marriage work? A lot of this comes down to expectations. When they're not being met, it creates disappointment, disillusionment, and discouragement, and that damages the relationship. So today we want to give a little, give you a little juice back in your marriage and think about what are some things you can do, some positive things when you feel most loved and respected that you can apply to your marriage even this weekend. All right, let's get to the calls. You can join us on our storyline at 888-888-1717. Caroline, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing just fine, thanks.
Terrific. Tell us, what's going on in your marriage? When do you feel love and respect?
Well, I married a man of very strong faith. We met in high school, and just like you said, life happens. Mm. And over the years, things can complicate and muddy the waters. I think first and foremost, we always had faith in front of our in our home, and 1 Corinthians 13 is always present. What is love? And so we always try to go down the list and practice what is love. But sometimes it gets difficult. Mm-hmm. And in those moments, we had to come up with a solution to how do we communicate when life gets rough. And for us, we went out and we bought the little mini whiteboards that you can place on your refrigerators with magnets behind it,
right,
with a little erasable marker. And before the end of the day, we had to think of one positive thing to write on the whiteboard for the other person to read when we weren't communicating well. And that was our launching point. And then that helped us magnificently for years. And then the most poignant point happened when I was hit head on in a collision in the middle of the day. Oh. And I've spent a year basically in a bed trying to rehab and to walk again and to get stronger. And in that moment, when you realize this can be my last day on earth and I may not see my husband tomorrow or my spouse tomorrow, all of those petty things fall away. And it's only how do I love this person the best today? Mm. And from that moment, we have been building in, be present in the moment, give to that person fully, start the day with coffee together, end the day with a conversation before going to bed, say I love you, faith is paramount, and finding a way to communicate and also be able to have those things fall away that are petty, that don't serve the marriage well. Always foremost is always telling the person, I remember when I met you, when I saw you at that locker, I saw all these wonderful things in you, and I wanted more of that. That's why I married you. And he says the same thing to me. When I saw you 40 years ago at that locker, I went, I want to know more about that person. I think that's the girl for me, and that's how it starts. And that's how it should remain.
Yes, ma'am.
Always reminding each other, what was that spark that first time you met? And that has served us well. The faith and the very descriptive and demonstrative love.
Amen.
Every day.
That's a fantastic way of looking at it. Let me ask you how you're doing now, though, after that accident. I think everybody wants to know how you're doing.
Well, I can tell you the woman who hit me, it was 80 miles per hour sustained impact.
Oh.
So it ripped my foot from my leg, and I had a lot of I had a surgery. It was non-weight bearing, so it was 6 months in bed, then 6 months trying to learn to walk again, a lot of nerve damage, and I didn't know what to do. PT graduated me, but after a year in bed, you're pretty deconditioned, and you don't know where to turn. And luckily, I found a man not far from my home who actually wrote a book called Barbell Prescription. It's for older people. And I went, well, let me just go see him for an hour, and maybe he can tell me what I can do to get stronger. And he, for five years now, I go to the gym twice a week, and slowly and steadily with the barbell. I could not squat. I was not independent. I was more dependent, and it scared me. And over the years, I've regained functionality, mobility, balance, and strength just by lifting a barbell up off the floor, very light, and it's increased over time. And this wonderful retired ER doctor, Dr. Sullivan, asked me to become a coach. And I am now helping people from age 45 to 99 come into the gym with some deficiency and help them have independence in their older years of life. And it's all just what God gives you, lemons to lemonade. Amen. I didn't know what my life was going to be like after this horrible crash, and I prayed my guts out that God would give me an answer, and doors opened, and now I have this new thing to do it with my life and to help other people who are suffering and not very independent, and to help them regain independence and strength and find more agency in their older years. And it really is a satisfying, beautiful thing.
Oh, I guess so. Listen, that's a whole nother topic beyond marriage, but you just hit intentional living. I mean, we're all sitting in some sort of a problem in our lives. We're either going to sit in the problem or we're going to learn from it and use it. You have, Carolyn, you have an opportunity to go help someone in the gym, and they're not going to pull the wool over your eyes, because you can say, hey, look at my foot. Look what I've been through. So I know where you are. I've been down that trail. And each of us has an opportunity to share whatever trail we've been down to help somebody who's on the same trail, because life is full of a lot of different trails, hopefully leading to the same place. And that's to a strong relationship with Jesus Christ. But Caroline, instead of sitting home and saying, I'm just going to limp around the rest of my life, I'm going to do something. I'm going to be intentional, and I'm going to make a difference. That's good for you. And by the way, Caroline, my wife Donna and I, we met in high school as well at the Lockers. I mean, we met when we were 16, I was 17. And of course I thought, wow, she's pretty sharp. She's cute. Yeah, I like her. And I asked, years later, came out, you know what she liked about me? You know what attracted, she said, what attracted me to you was your letter jacket. I played football in, you guys didn't know I played football? I wasn't good, but at least got a jacket and a letter. And the sad thing is, I don't know where the jacket's long gone, of course, but I don't even know where the letter is anymore. But I'm still here, right? She's kept me around, even without my letter jacket. Okay, did we take a break? Let's take a break, and I'll be right back.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Hi, Dr. Carlson. I just wanted to say thank you. I did go through a rough period about a year and a half ago. My marriage was falling apart, and I had called and I had actually talked to you and said to set goals for one day at a time, because it was so hard when my husband left to set any long-term goals. So I set the goal for short terms, and I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for those people who were praying for us. My husband and I are together still. He came back home, and we are both living intentionally, and I have a better marriage than I did before, with both of us loving each other and doing the right things and walking intentionally with Christ. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome, and that's why we're here. We're hearing stories, thousands of people whose lives are being radically changed. I just saw a report. I don't have it in front of me, but a report from our chaplain program where we have live chaplains who are talking, not AI, real people, chaplains who are talking to people, talking about what's going on in your life, praying with you. And we're seeing many come to Christ and many people struggling with relationship issues and so on. And this is available service that we have from the ministry, and you all support to make this possible. But these are trained chaplains. You know, it's not counseling, but they're there to pray with you and encourage you in your journey. And you can find out about that through our website at theintentionallife.com. And I want to say a thank you to those, to you who are you're supporting the ministry. This radio program, podcast, events, publications, if you are in a position today where you're saying, I want to be a part of something making a difference, I need to let you know we need your help. Your monthly support right now is going to be a huge help to keep Intentional Living and this ministry going. So can I just ask you, if you believe in what you hear, you say, I get it, and I want to be a part of it, I want to see my support doubled in terms of impacting people in the lives of people, because we don't borrow any money. We just don't borrow money. It's just not part of our, you know, part of our culture here. We just don't borrow money to operate. It just comes in and we use it for ministry. And so come and join us. You can call 888-888-1717, press number 2, talk to our staff, or go to theintentionallife.com, click on that little donate icon and plug in, be a part of the journey. And by the way, we'll send you a little code to sign you up so you can get access to our online teaching. Thank you for your support.
This is Mary in California. When I am not treating my husband with respect, I am not respecting God. And I realize that I'm really not putting God first. And so I keep that in mind, and it really helps me through the day to treat him with respect and listen to what he has to say, because it's so easy for us to want to be right and want our way. And that's the one thing I've learned. And selfishness is a real hard thing to get rid of, but that's what I've been working on intentionally. Thank you.
You're welcome, Mary. You know, there's a researcher up in the state of Washington, for those of you who might be listening in that area, John Gottman. He and his wife have researched marriages for years, you know, videotaping marriage interactions and even predicting which marriages are going to survive and not survive. And he's had a huge positive statistical connection, correlation, I guess, between the interactions of people that they can see on tape and will they survive a marriage or not. It's really amazing. And he talks about the four horsemen of the apocalypse in marriage. But the number one, I don't want to get too deep into this, but just number one on the list that he found, and I think it's intuitive, and certainly we see it in Scripture, the number one killer of a marriage is criticism. We don't need a critic in our marriage. We need an encourager. Doesn't mean we don't confront issues, please. But a critic, it's like having a bucket full of water, and someone comes along and drills a little hole in the bottom of it. And it kind of drains out, you know? And all of a sudden you look down and say, where did it all go? All my energy or passion or interest, it's gone. And what happens there is a little bit over an extended period of time can make a big difference, good or bad. Maybe we need to be refilling the bucket and put some gum in the hole there. And start over today, especially on this Valentine weekend.
My name is Brittany. My husband and I have been married for 5 years, and what makes me feel the most loved is really just that quality time away from cell phones and laptops and TV and all the things that can be kind of distracting in life. Because him and I are both very, very busy. We both work, we volunteer in our church, we're youth pastors, and time is very limited really together. So just that moment when we can sit down and laugh and look at each other and talk about our days, that makes me feel the most loved, just that quality time.
Yeah, that's true. You know, Our friend Gary Chapman talks about the five love languages, and time is one of them for sure. All right, back to the calls here. Let's go to Jorge in Florida. Talk to me about love and respect.
Me and my wife have only been married for 4 years, so I know for a lot of people that's not a long time, but we've had a lot of experience this last 4 years on trying to set a foundation for what our marriage is to be like, because our goal is to be married 60, 70, 75 years, however long the Lord allows us to be here.
There you go. That's
good. So what we did is we struggle with wanting to be with each other. We like to have dates, and we live really, really, really busy. And my wife was really focused on wanting us to plan dates out. Well, I prefer to just be spontaneous whenever it comes to dates. And, you know, I'm a man. I don't know if that's like, you know, guy talk or guy trade, but I just like to go with the flow. And she is very, I want organization. So what we ended up doing was creating a dating game based off of a Dr. Jim Burns book.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is he talked about writing 10 dates down. But what we did is we took 20 dates and we wrote them down. And we got a 20-sided die from that Dungeons & Dragons game a long time ago. And we will roll the die, and whatever it lands on is what date we're going to do that night.
Sounds like a better use for that.
Yeah, amen. Come on, somebody. It gives us both the opportunity, me to help plan it out and to show her, hey, man, I'm willing to plan for you. I love you. I care about you. And if this makes you feel comfortable, I'm going to do it. But it shows me respect, because she still wants me and allows me to keep my spontaneity and be spontaneous.
Well, you guys, yeah, Jorge, you guys are the the poster child children for the thing that I teach in marriage conferences called planned spontaneity. And what you've done is you've taken the side of spontaneity, saying, hey, we've looked at all these things that would be kind of fun to do, but then we're going to have a plan. But when we do it, we won't know until we roll that dice, you know. And it's going back and forth. And I think sometimes if we don't have that kind of planned spontaneity, what happens is nothing gets done, and
exactly.
Life just kind of unfolds. So, you know, listen, you guys, what you've done is you've taken your differences and you're saying, hey, we're going to have fun with it. We're going to do something that will work for both of us. So at the end of the day, we're both happy. And that's how you're going to get a 50-year marriage.
Yeah. I look at the message of Christ and how Christ came on the earth, and Jesus had a plan. But even within his plans, he would allow deviations and times to go somewhere. Meeting the woman at the well, meeting the man at the pool of Siloam. He was always willing to deviate from the plan, allowing spontaneity to happen and occur, but was all within the realm of what he knew to do. So we try and be like Christ in that relationship. Hey. Where I get to be the husband. I know she wants planning, and she allows me to be spontaneous. Yeah. So we can divert, hey, we're going to do this, but guess what? Yeah. We can try this over here too.
Yeah, that's good. And, you know, it's not only the guys. Debbie, apparently, from Texas here, she likes spontaneity as well. Debbie, thanks for your call. Talk to us. So when is it you feel most loved?
Okay, I believe that the spontaneity of either partner just seeing something that, hey, this might help my partner. It will bring so much more joy than saying, oh, it's our anniversary.
Yeah.
And just doing it because. So just the spontaneity of finding that day and, hey, God touched my heart to reach out and I'm going to do the dishes today. Or she can throw out the trash today. So just reaching out, I think that shows the love and respect and say, hey, thank you for doing it every day, but I took this day.
Yeah, that's good.
That will bring the chills and the happy moments. Keep it going. Keep the flame burning.
If you were to develop a habit of three encouraging words every day spoken into your family, into your kids' lives, or into your marriage, that'd be over 1,000 words of encouragement in a year. How about with your health? Just imagine for a moment that you were to develop a habit, with your doctor's permission, of exercising for 30 minutes every day, going for a walk, aerobic exercise, weightlifting, whatever it is that you're capable of doing and your doctor says is okay. But let's say just 30 minutes a day, that'd be 180 hours of exercise, building your body, building strength into your life in a year. That'd be over 60,000 calories
that will have been burned, maybe much more.
Yeah, that's right. Listen, a little bit over an extended period of time is the word picture. We see that, don't we, how it affects things in a negative way. You look around your home after a little bit of negativity over an extended period of time. You wear out a relationship. If you keep walking on the same path across your carpet, you kind of over a period of time, you wear a path where you can see it, right? And those may not be good things, but at the same time, the good things, the positive things that we can develop habitually in our life, a little bit over an extended period of time, wow, that's the power of one thing. Starting one thing until it becomes a habit in your life that can be transformational in your relationship. That's an excerpt you just heard, by the way, from the habit series or special for this month that we have on our member exclusive portion of our website at theintentionallife.com, which is a way of just acknowledging and thanking our members. And some of you who've joined us here not in the recent past to be a part of the ministry, thank you. Juan from Glendale, Arizona. Jean in Odessa, Texas, thank you so much. Kristen in Gregory, Michigan. And here's Paul from Connecticut. Thank you. And then over in California, thank you, Jenny, for joining us as well, your support. And you know what? We appreciate whatever you can do. Every dollar goes to help us reach more people. If you can click the button to say, hey, just count me in every month. You know, you see, that's intentional living. That multiplies a dollar a day, 360 for the year, 365 for the year over an extended period of time. Enough people doing that, and we're able to reach more people together for Christ. Pray about it. Come and join us. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or call 888-888-1717.
Hi, my name is Julie from Phoenix, Arizona, and I was just listening to what makes me feel the love from my husband. And I have chronic pain and a lot of medical issues. And the most love I feel from him is his care that he gives me every day, the things he does for me. We have recently, in the last year, become Christians, both familiar with it our whole life. But this is a very important thing to us. So that's how I feel his love, is from all the care he gives me and shows me every day, even when he just makes my coffee. Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Thank you, Julie. Coffee. My wife makes a coffee every day, and I don't drink coffee until, but you know, it's interesting. We've been married 50 years plus. Teenagers when we got married. Teenagers. What were we thinking? It's been 50 years, so it's worked. But anyway, I don't think I have in 50 years consumed more than one cup of coffee. I don't know. I just didn't acquire it. And the other day, I don't know why I started a couple months ago. I said, well, let me try a little bit. I said, it's not too bad. Now, every morning, I tell her, just make a little bit extra. And now she's got to show me how the pot thing works, really, so I can start doing it myself. Too much information, I know. All right, do we have time? Let's go. We got Cameron in Michigan. Thank you for your call. When do you feel most love and respect in your marriage?
So my wife and I have been married for a year and a half, and we've started just praying for each other in the mornings. No matter what kind of grief that we're going through or what kind of pain that we're just going through, we always just bring the Lord to it and just pray. And I always appreciate that with her.
Mm. You've been doing that for a long time?
We've been doing it for a long time since we have been married. So even before, we didn't live with each other before we got married, but we always prayed with each other and we always brought the Lord into it.
Listen, keeping Christ the center of your marriage, that's huge. All right, quickly, I think we got enough time to get you in here, Shani from Michigan. Why did you pick up the phone today and give us a call?
So I heard that woman, I caught the tail end of the woman talking about how she is in a lot of pain and that her husband just kind of doesn't understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a call, earlier call, yeah.
Yes, I have experienced that. I actually had stage 3 endometriosis, and my husband for a long time, until he went to the doctor with me, he did not understand, like, what was going on and the pain that I was in. He thought I was, like, making it up.
Yeah. So the advice I gave her was to see if your husband could go with you, maybe the doctor, that he'll, you know, understand more what's going on. And that made a difference for your husband?
Yes, very much so. He just thought that it was, like, just cramps. But I would get in this pain that would take my breath away, and, like, I'd have to stand still and try and catch my breath.
Hmm. Well, this was a wake-up call for him. It was a good thing then. And how is that? And how are you doing now? You've been getting some treatment? Are you doing better?
So I had surgery to get it removed, and I have to be honest, the surgery hurt a lot less than the pain I was going through in day-to-day life.
Hmm. Well, I'm glad that you're doing better, but it is a reminder. I think sometimes, come on, guys, sometimes we're a little thick. And our wife is experiencing something and we miss it. Because listen, we interpret everything through our own eyes and our own experiences. And this goes both ways, by the way. This is a wife to a husband, husband to a wife. And one of the most powerful, in fact, this is one of the points that John Gottman makes is about empathy, having an understanding, trying to walk in the shoes of that other person a little bit and the difference it's made. So, what kind of difference has it made in your marriage? How's your relationship today?
It's really, really great. He listens to me now. It's been kind of an eye-opener of, like, it's not, everything's not just rosy. He was very healthy, and I had a lot of health issues. So, like, I kind of knew what to expect, and I think he just didn't want to believe that these things were going on. I don't think it was you don't have the pain, it's not there. I think it was him not wanting to believe that I could go through that.
Hmm. Yeah, the fact, it sounds like a good part of it was just the ability to talk about it.
Yeah. Communication is so important.
Yeah, in fact, it is the key to marriage. The research shows that. Well, I'm glad you're doing better and your marriage is better, and that's positive. Listen, we spent the last couple days here really just kind of unpacking this Valentine's season in terms of what does love and respect feel like in your marriage. I hope it's been helpful for you. That's God's intention. We'd say we're here to help you experience life the way God intended. The stories you're hearing today are the stories that remind us of what God intends going on, the practical stuff in your marriage every day. And you can make it too. You can make it happen intentionally. I'm Dr. Randy. Thank you for your support. Thanks for standing with us. Thank you, Jennifer, Stephen, the rest of the team. God bless you. This is Intentional Living. It's a ministry of Intentional Life Media.